Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today. We're also brought to you by Bird Dogs Shorts. The world's greatest shorts are hooking you up with a free Yeti-style tumbler when you order over at birddogs.com/pool. That's birddogs.com/pool.
Hi, degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 365. If you ever wish that we would be in your ears 365 times, 365 days a year, there you go. You can listen to one of our episodes each day for a year now, and you'll never run out of something to listen to. So this episode is dedicated to all the fathers out there. I'm sure there's plenty of fathers listening. Not many mothers, but there are plenty of fathers. So happy Father's Day to you all. For those of you who celebrate, there was some celebrating last night, the UFC, because, well, not me, Jeff Chalks Fox. I didn't do so hot with my picks. Came down to the last fight of the night. That was my make or break spot, and I broke. But my co-host, old boy, another father on the pod, boy, he had himself a night again. He's inching closer to me in our yearly battle to see who sucks the least. It's the one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello, and happy Father's Day.
You know, at this pace, though, for the record, you know, I know my catchphrase. There's always time, right?
It's obviously time. Not happy Father's Day to you, too.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Your catchphrase. Do you guys even have, is this Canadian Father's Day?
Do we have fathers? Yes, we have fathers here. Yes, it's a Father's Day here. Yes. I know some countries it's different days, but.
No, oh, okay. Okay. Well, then happy Father's Day. I didn't want to.
Oh, thanks.
I didn't want to offer you a Father's Day if it was like, you know, you know, Canadian Easter or something like that, because yes, you guys have Thanksgiving on weird times. I actually just talked to a Canadian father for an interview coming up.
You want to leak out who that is, or you want to wait?
Yeah, it probably won't be out for a few weeks over on the Top Turtle MMA podcast, but I'm talking to one of the fighters who is on week one of the Dana White's Contender Series. His name is Cal Machado. Ooh. He's a Brazilian guy, but he now lives in Canada, so he's the adopted son. He said he stayed in Canada because he liked his team. He met a lovely lady. He had a baby, and he's working on getting his Canadian citizenship. And I was
ours.
Oh my God, this is Jeff Fox's dream boy. Jeff is gonna love Machado.
Where is he located? What team is he with?
I think he lives in Vancouver. He's not in your backyard or anything like that.
No.
But he's he's somebody who's not from Canada who decided to say he's Canadian, and like not like your girl who abandoned you. She's no longer Canadian.
We don't speak her name here.
But Machado is Canadian, so you're gonna get a Dana White Contender Series Canadian on week one.
All right, can't wait. Soon. That's when we make our money, everyone, for newbies around here. But anyhow, Gumby. Back to last night. Gumby made himself some money last night. That's for sure.
Yeah. And
you were on fire.
And I was going to say, I always say there's time. There's really time now, because I think we're in the black. What is it? Six out of the last seven UFC events. That is a hell of a roll.
Yep. Gumby is on a roll that does not usually happen with this guy. It was me. It was me last year. Hey, last year I was on fire for the first, 8 months or something.
Yeah, the first eight or nine months, you couldn't be touched.
And then the wheels fell off. And Gumby was on fire last night. Got his first. Well, there was some chicanery and screwery going on, as per usual with MMA, but which kept him alive. He was alive, undefeated for the first one, two, three, four, five fights last night.
Prelims. I swept the prelims.
He swept, which used to be his specialty. He started off in this business as a prelim expert, and then you broaden your wings and soared, and then you're an expert in everything now, especially regional stuff. But That'll be tomorrow.
That's all nature's right, prelims.
Yes. What is he talking about? Anyway, that's something weird I would say, but what nature's prelims, is that what you said?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
The regional scene is nature's prelims.
Oh,
it's the fights that come before the main event, the stuff that you really care about.
Boy, there's our title, ladies and gentlemen, as you've probably already seen.
Yeah, nature's prelims.
Nature's prelims. Gumby, you can usually count on him. The last couple episodes, you didn't say anything for me to come up with titles off. But right out of the gate here, my Father's Day present, Gumby comes through with the title.
Nature's prelims.
All right. Nature's, and he's happy about it too. All right, we're going to jump into this as I keep messing up Nature's prelims. I'm trying to type it here. I'm going to tell you about Edge Boost, so a place that doesn't mess up. And then we're going to jump in and rip through last night's card for you. This episode is supported by Edge Boost. Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in betting advances, which can be an extremely valuable tool. Gumby's a valuable tool as well. Imagine what you can do with an increased bankroll. Haha, burn. Get down on some of your favorite futures without tying up your bankroll for months. That's what you can do. Double down on a favorite bet you like, or even use it to create an awesome middle or even a hedge. Nothing better than middles and hedges. Edge Boost isn't some sleazy loan shark, as they charge it zero interest. Do you know of a way you can access more money to place in your favorite bets without paying any interest? Edge Boost can be a part of a responsible gambling plan, as you can set up daily, weekly, or monthly, and or monthly limits across all your betting accounts in one place. Support SGPN and grow your bankroll by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Must be 21 years or older to use. Problem gambling? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Do Americans of your age call people tools as a as an insult or no?
I don't think I personally do, but I think people my age roughly do that. Yes,
they know what tools are. Fine.
Yes,
that's
correct.
It's just like calling someone a div in Britain. That's a good insult too. They call each other divs.
Never heard of that.
Yep, div instead of tool. There you go.
Okay,
learn something new. We learned something new in the main event last night. Jerry Cannonier is still good despite being old.
Who learned something new?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We that picked Marvin Vittori, not you.
The royal we.
I picked Mad Marvin. Mad Marvin's chin held up, but boy, the pace, I predicted Marvin was going to put the pace on him. No, Jerry Cannonier broke records, middleweight records, for the amount of strikes he landed. Partially that had to do with how tough Vittori is, because he wouldn't get knocked out. But yeah, Cannonier looked amazing. Probably he's the best performance I've seen out of him. 25 complete minutes of dominance, except for the safe for the first round. He went 49-45, 49-45, 48-46. There should have been a 10-8 round in there by Gumby and my scorecard. So what did we score? Gumby?
I scored it 49-45.
Okay, yes, same as me. So yeah, a couple judges agreed with this, which was good. So anyhow, Kenner came through. If I had hit my Vittori plus 100 pick, I would have came out in the black. Instead, I came out in the red last night. Gumby hit Cannonier minus 110. It was just part of a dynamite night for Mr. Gumby. So go ahead.
So a couple of things. Float. First of all, he got hit 250 times, which is...
Yeah,
wow. For those of you not good at math, that means every 6 seconds he took a punch nonstop for almost half an hour.
Like, he barely got rocked either. That's the thing.
I don't think he ever really got rocked. There were a couple of times he got hit and his eyes opened wider, right? Like he did like this like weird stare and I was like, oh, he's hurt. But his legs never got wobbly, which is, it baffles me. Cause look, it looked like Cannonier was throwing with some real bad intentions on some of those punches. And I don't know if you've seen the picture Vittori and his manager post, because he's an Ali Abdelaziz client. Did you see?
I love that manager. But anyhow, yes.
Did you see? You know no. he's been on an episode of Top Turtle MMA, right?
I think I do know that.
Yeah, he made a guest appearance real quick.
He's such a great guy.
Anyone
who wants to know what a great guy is, just Google him, and you know.
Do the research, bro. It was a weird appearance. I was interviewing Dan Ige, and he just like peeked his head in Dan Ige's car, which is where he was doing the interview. And he was like, "What are you doing?" Like, this is my manager.
50K.
But anyway, back to my original point. Ali Abdelaziz posted a picture of him and Vittori like the next, I think it was like a morning after picture. Dude, Vettori looks like he got hit by 7 trucks. Like he looks bad, which is not surprising given the abuse he took. I'm a little bit surprised it went the distance. I really thought those punches were going to get him out. It would have made my personal night a little bit better if Vettori had gotten TKO'd, because I dabbled there in the Cannonier KO, because it was plus 250, which I think, man, in retrospect, I think maybe it's a great bet and a terrible bet, because you're like, man, Cannonier has got the ability to put anybody away, but then also maybe not Marvin Vettori. So maybe plus 250 was an appropriately lined fight. But regardless, Vettori just doesn't have the ability to beat somebody who he can't take down. That's kind of my end result here. Is like, if Marvin Vittori's wrestling is not going to help him, he's done. Because everybody he's beat, like, with the exception, I think, he got his wrestling going a little bit against Paulo Costa. With the exception of kind of Paulo Costa, and maybe Omari Akhmedov, if you want to go way back, like, anybody he couldn't take down, he got the shit beat out of him by. So, I think Cannonier being able to stuff a lot of those takedowns, especially after he hurt him once or twice, I think really did it for him. Can we also talk about, like, Jared Cannonier thinking it was okay to fight left-handed at all? Despite the fact that he had no defense left-handed and it almost cost him.
Yeah. astute announcers noticed that he was getting rocked lit up every time he was fighting that way.
Dude, it was one of those things where it was like, it wasn't just like, oh, somebody pointed out to me, I noticed it. Or, you know, like when I'm doing film study and I'm like getting real in on the fights, like, oh, you know, he's not doing so well defensively. It was like, every time he was left-handed, he ate 3 hard punches in a row and then would switch back to right-handed. And it'd be like, why do we keep going there, dude? Like, it was, especially having the coach he has. Cause like, you know, not for anything, I'm not saying any MMA coaches are bad or anything like that, but when you have John Crouch in your corner, John Crouch is a genius. That dude is so smart when it comes to MMA game planning. So like, if it wasn't working, how did he ever let Jared Cannonier go back to it? Unless it was like one of the most fundamental parts of his game plan, which in that case, like, it shouldn't have been. So, weird move by Cannonier, but nevertheless, he comes out looking like roses here, and it should catapult him, if not to another title shot, because I don't know. Do you feel like he should get a title shot on that?
It was his best performance, but I don't think anything's going to change if he does get a title shot. Like, it's not like he's going to win the belt.
I don't think anybody in the middleweight division right now, now that Pejeda is gone, I don't think anybody in the middleweight division is touching Israel Adesanya right now. Like, he's just going to roll over people. But like, if it comes down to, you know, Robert Whittaker blast Dricus du Plessis, in a couple weeks or whatever, if he doesn't look impressive, maybe you let Cannonier jump him. I don't know. It's a shitty division.
it depends what the crystals say, Dan. We'll have to ask the crystals.
Yeah. Big crystal guy.
not the 60s doo-wop group or girl group crystals. I'm talking about the crystals. Anyhow, Vittori's tough. Cannonier is still good for an old guy. That's Now, another thing I was thinking when I was watching it, like, I hope there's still far too many out of shape heavyweights and undersized out of shape heavyweights in the UFC. I think they should watch that performance last night and go, hey, I can possibly have a career like Jared Cannonier, because Cannonier was a undersized out of shape heavyweight, and then he was a slightly less out of shape, slightly less undersized light heavyweight, and now he's a ripped middleweight and a top contender. So just, you know, something to think about. There's still plenty of guys who shouldn't be at heavyweight.
This is like the last guy Dominic Reyes beat at light heavyweight.
Yeah, there you go.
Sean Jordan knocked this dude out.
Sean Jordan.
And now he's like one of the best middleweights on the planet. So which fat heavyweight are you saying we need to see at middleweight?
I don't know. Not Huggy Bear, because he's
he's perfect.
Yeah,
maybe. I got to think about this one for a bit.
Not Jake Collier. Jake Collier did the reverse Jared Cannonier.
And it didn't. It also didn't work out for him.
No. We had a squash match in a co-main event. Not much really say here. It took him a while to finish it, but Armin Sarukyan came through minus 1,000 to the delight of our friend Ryan H in the Discord. He was on pins and needles for the last two, or not the the second and third fight from the top, because they were two Armenians fighting, but they both came through for him. He had an Armenian parlay going through. Like I said, it took him a while, but he ended up ground and pounding his way to victory, 3:25 in the third round. I don't think we learned much here, or really there's not too much to say.
Yeah, I, the only thing I'll say is his boxing didn't look as good as I thought it would, because Silva, Silva tagged him a little bit, and I'm trying to decide if that was just a Sarukian overlooking his opponent, or if there's actually a deficiency there. And I don't really think I'm ever going to come up with an answer to that until I see him fight again.
Yeah. Hopefully we will see him fight again soon. Armin Petrosian made a fool out of Christian Leroy Duncan, look like a capoeira practitioner or Tai Chi practitioner out there with his fancy moves. He was Christian Leroy Duncan didn't land anything. His fancy moves were not landing. They look fancy, but they didn't land. Armin Petrosian just was blasting away on him. Non-fancy, just workmanlike performance, got the job done. Unanimous decision, 32-7, 29-28, 29-28. Across the board, we did not have Armin Petrosian. People in Discord are saying that CLD, Christian Leroy Duncan, has been exposed as a fraud here. Do you think that's the case?
I don't think that's the case, but I do think he, like, this is the first time he's really stepped up against an opponent. Right. Like he fought in Cage Warriors and he fought some decent people over there. But his first big test in Cage Warriors was supposed to be JT Money, Jesse Taylor. And JT Money backed out because he got hit by a car at 2:30 a.m. in London, because he's JT Money. So he didn't wind up. Yeah. So he didn't wind up getting that fight. And then he was supposed to make his UFC debut. Injury ends that fight early. So like he hasn't had a real test. And I think the problem is that like all of his weird shit has worked forever, because he's been fighting bad guys for the most part. Now he's not fighting bad guys. Armin Petrosian, you know, he's good. You know, say what you want about Armin Petrosian. Like this is a guy who's won fights in the UFC. I mean, he beat AJ Dobson. He beat Hobocop. The only guy he's lost to in the UFC is Kaibo Hayo, who looks like he's just going to run through everybody at this point. So, you know, it's not a bad loss for Christian Leroy Duncan. I hope he watches that fight back and says to himself, he's like, oh, shit, this doesn't work against good opponents. I need to fix what I'm doing. And if he does that, you know, like I don't think we will be calling him a fraud next time out. But if he keeps thinking that shit's going to work, give me two or three fights and he's not in the UFC anymore.
Yeah. Like he just wasn't landing anything. He was landing nothing.
He was chasing him with his butt, right? Like he did that weird thing where he like looked like he did half a spin and then like he didn't actually throw the kick. And then he just like, he was like chasing Petrosian around with his butt, which is like one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. And look, it was a card full of weird things.
It was.
That was maybe the weirdest.
Yep. It wouldn't have looked as weird if he was wearing some Bird Dog shorts, though, Dan. Great. Bird Dogs make you look good. Even if you're chasing after people with your butt.
Especially if you're chasing people with your butt. Yeah.
Because Bird Dogs are stretch khaki shorts, and they're designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and leg, giving you a truly sculpted look. Bird Dog shorts do the exact same thing as Lululemon, but fit way better. They fit better than regular shorts. Way better, actually, it says here. And because regular shorts are made of stiff, restricting cotton, Bird Dogs fix that issue by inventing cloud knit fabric that looks just like khaki but stretches, so that you get a way slimmer fit without having to sacrifice movement, like if you're chasing after someone with your butt in the cage. Bird Dogs uses anti stink sweat wicking fabric that keeps you cool and dry all day long. So obviously Christian Leroy Duncan could have used some Bird Dog shorts last night. Not sure if the UFC would allow it, but anyhow, it's worth a try. He can wear them underneath his issued shorts. So You people don't have to worry about that, because you're not in the UFC more than likely. You guys and gals, maybe there's a gals here. Go to birddogs.com. That's birddogs.com/pool, POOL, somewhere I wish I was in right now because it's hot in this here office. And enter promo code POOL for a free Yeti-style tumbler with your order. That's birddogs.com/pool for a free Yeti-style tumbler. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off, we promise you. And yes, Dan, it's almost summer in Canada, too. Our seasons are the same as yours, too.
Yeah, yeah. We're all North America. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you realize that? You just didn't know about the holidays.
Same hemisphere, but different holidays.
Yeah, okay, there you go. There, yes.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your toilet flushes the same way, too.
It does, too, yes. Featherweights, Pat Sabatini, he came through for us. He did. This is one of the fights we correctly predicted exactly what would happen. It happened. He's just too good a grappler. He grounded out Lucas Almeida on the ground until eventually submitted him with arm triangle choke, which I was happy about because I believe Gumby had some bets on the sub prop here. Did you not?
Yeah, it was one half of the Hungry Man Jung
right,
parlay. Which we didn't hit both ends. One was very close, and the other one we definitely hit. But I had some skin in the prop straight up because, man, did he, dude? I don't know how this line was criminal. -185 on Sabatini here. I wish I did an edge boost and doubled down here because it could have been so much bigger for Sabatini. I don't know how more people didn't bet the line in the opposite direction. There had to have been money coming in on Almeida, which is wild to me because he looked like he had nothing on the ground for Sabatini. Sabatini was working him.
Yep. Wasn't a surprise though. Luckily it wasn't a surprise for us. So Sabatini back on that train and headed back to the top, hopefully at featherweight.
Lock of the week too. That was my lock of the week.
There you go. Yes.
So we'll throw that in there
at the end. Yep. Lightweights. This looked good until it didn't, Dan. It was like what we said with old fighters. I guess Nicholas Motta isn't the youngest cat, but he's not over the hill. But yeah, Motta looked good until he did not. And then Manuel Torres knocked him out with a vicious elbow. A hellbow, you could say. Minute 50 into the first round. We had Nicholas Motta as underdog. That would have been a nice little hit for us at +155. It looked like it was going to come through. And like I said, until it very quickly did not come through.
Yeah, he was countering well, which is, if you go back to our Thursday episode, that's what I said was going to work so well for Motta, is I did like his counters. But it turns out when you get hit flush with an elbow right down the middle, it turns out there's no counter for that. And you just, I mean, he was out. Like, we're going to talk about more than one person who was out, but like he was... Man, that was bad.
Yep, as was our next pick. I have a feeling Muslim Salikov is going to be a guy that's going to screw us, assuming he sticks around in the UFC.
I don't think I'll ever get one of his fights right.
Yep, we got the last two of his fights wrong. Nicholas Dalby.
I've got the last three of his fights wrong.
Oh, did you?
I had him to beat Li Jingliang, too. I remember that one.
Yep. Nicholas Dalby took care of the King of Kung Fu. 30-27, 30-27, 29-28. Dalby's just too tough, and cardio was too good, and just... put it to Salikov for the full 15 minutes. So like I said, I don't think we're ever going to get the King Kong Fu's picks right because we got it wrong again.
Yeah, well, it's just because he's one of those frustrating guys who's so good when he's good and so bad when he's tired.
And is he sticking around? That's two losses out of his last three, and he is 39 years old.
I don't know. I can see the UFC keeping him around because he's so damn exciting.
Yeah,
like that wasn't a boring fight, even though he lost the decision. Like, it was fun to watch. I expect him to be in there. And the other thing too is he fights so infrequently that I think the UFC is like, whatever, we'll just pay him a little bit once in a while because he's fought.
Yeah,
you know, he's fought five times in the last 3 years total. He just doesn't fight very often, so I think they're all right being like, that's fine. We'll see you again next June.
See you again next time. Yeah, the main card is where the wheels fell off for me. I went 2-4, Gumby 3-3. So yeah, main card, not where we made our box last night. Prelims definitely went well. Main event ended up being, we lost a fight. Felipe Bunez flunked a drug test. So probably bye-bye to the UFC for him.
depending on the type. Depending on the type.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Tainted so, supplement, he might be right back.
What we joked about Chagas Chumagula, how his fight wasn't going to happen, and it didn't happen because that was his fight. So he lost that fight, and he's fighting apparently this coming week. So we'll see if he really is. And then we also lost Haoni Barcelos and Miles Johns. We had that broken down too, right? Yeah, Johns was our big underdog we wanted, and then apparently he's injured. It's great. UFC books people who are injured. It's great. Fighters hide these things. I guess they need money, so they think they're going to be okay for a fight. But it doesn't, like, he didn't get injured during the week, it didn't sound like, right?
I got no details on that. I know nothing about it other than, you know, usually if he was still at Fortis, I think we'd have more details. But as you may have heard on the Top Turtle MMA podcast this week, he now trains at Marathon MMA under Trey Ogden, and I got nothing out of there.
Yeah. Which, anyhow, that was a long way of me telling you. We had a new prelim main event, which was Alessandro Costa TKOing with elbows, Jimmy Flick, 103 into the second round. This one we nailed. Costa looked very good at minus 250. It looked like a easy pick. It was my lock as well. And Jimmy Flick may be a guy who may be going bye-bye, even though Gumby doesn't seem to want to fire anyone today. Maybe it's Father's Day thing. But, yeah, Costa looked good. Hopefully, obviously, we need to see him against higher level competition. But it's flyweight, not super deep division, and he's got a lot of power for that weight class. So he may have this kid may have a future in this sport here.
He looked good against Amir Albazi in his debut, to be fair.
True.
And then I'll say this too. Like a lot of people were like, should he have gone to the ground to try to finish Jimmy Flick?
I didn't like that.
A lot of people didn't like that, but my answer is just like, he kept tagging him on the feet and then letting him recover, tagging him in the feet, letting him recover, tagging him on the feet and letting him recover. Like at a certain point, like you got to go for the kill. Right. Unless you want to, especially if you want to take home the performance of the night bonus, which, by the way, he did. I appreciate him getting after it. Also, I will say this about Jimmy Flick, kind of disappointing. Something I wish I knew about him when he was coming back, because I did pick him in his last fight, I think. And he looked god awful. And now he's looked god awful for two in a row. Did you hear what they said on the broadcast about him?
Remind me. I might
have. So they said he retired, and you'll remember he retired to like spend more time with his family.
Yeah.
And on the broadcast, they were like, Jimmy Flick, he retired, and now he's back, fresh off a divorce.
You go. See.
He like retired to spend time with his family, and his wife was like, nah.
Well, that's why the pandemic was so hard for a lot of people. Yeah. I'm married to this person. All right. Yeah. Not me. No, I'm still married. Yeah, anniversary's coming up this week.
I'm still married too. We had
21 years come Thursday, dude.
Wow.
Yeah,
you're gonna record with me on your 21st wedding.
You just wait. Anyhow, Costa, future, right? How old is that kid?
I don't know. I do know I do know that he's got good management. He's only 27. He's got good management. He's managed by the same guy who manages Brandon Moreno.
Okay, good.
Good team of managers, and they represent like 100 UFC fighters or something like that. So like, they're gonna build him up the right way. He got a good win here, especially after losing to Albazi. So yeah, I like him, and I actually put a question in the Discord whether or not people liked him or Carlos Hernandez better, because I think they both look fantastic.
Yeah, we can skip ahead and talk about Carlos Hernandez if you want. It was two first note. Hernandez took care of Dennis Bondar. Technical decision. This was one of the screwery that happened. He technically won 30-27, 30-27, 29-28. The end of the fight, after he clearly was winning a striking battle, even though I think Bondar was thinking otherwise for some reason. But anyhow, because he was showboating and getting lit up when he was showboating. But took him down. Their heads collided in midair, and then Bondar's head hit off the mat. And at that point, he was knocked out. And he still ate about 10 elbows before the ref jumped in. Then they determined, I don't know how they determined that he was knocked out by the head clash in the air and not knocked out by his head hitting the mat. But they determined that and took away the knockout finish for Hernandez. Luckily, he still won, but via decision. But still, if you had him inside the distance or had him via TKO or KO, you would have been pretty upset by that pick. We just had him outright winning, luckily.
Yeah, I would say, first of all, I do think the headbutt knocked him out.
It seemed that way.
Based on what I watched. But secondly, how much more of a indictment of Jaron Vallel is that? referee Jaron Vilel, is that they were like, oh, he was actually unconscious on the way down. And then he eats eight elbows. Like,
yeah,
like
50 million elbows.
If a guy gets knocked out by elbows and then eats like two or three more, and you're like, oh, he shouldn't eat in those last two or three because the fourth one knocked him out, or the second one knocked him out and he shouldn't eat in those last five. Like, you could be like, oh, well, he wasn't sure the fourth one. He should have eaten zero elbows. He was unconscious before the elbows started and then still ate a damn near a dozen of them. But that being said, Carlos Hernandez looked really good. And like I said, both him and Alessandro Costa have bright futures at flyweight. That was a very exciting night for flyweight.
Yep. So good that they kept flyweight around. And they even said that on the telecast as well. We had Hernandez as the underdog plus 110. The fight that went on right after that, Gumby hit a dog in that one too. Kyung Ho Kong, they were calling him.
Dog of the week.
Dog of the week. Submission, rear naked choke over Christian Quinones. I wasn't happy about this pick. 225 into the first round. He took care of him on the feet and then took care of him on the ground. And Gumby hit. Every time Gumby zigged and I zagged, Gumby came through this past week. So, yeah. Two fights we disagreed on, and you won them both.
Yeah, and when I predicted this fight, I will, you know, like, withdraw the pat on my back a little bit, because I did say Kyung Ho Kang, his path to victory here was shoot a bunch of takedowns. And it turns out I was wrong. He could blast him on the feet too. And then as soon as he blasted him on the feet, Quinones had no idea what to do on the ground with this guy.
Yeah.
So
he seemed to be like he was ready to get submitted and get out of here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was one of those situations.
He was like, here's my neck. Do what you want with it, and I'll tap out, and we'll call this a night. But hey, dude, like, in all honesty, Kyung Ho Kang, I know he's old as hell. I know he had 2 years off where he didn't fight at all because he had to do mandatory military service. But, like, this is a guy who's 5-1 in his last six. And the only loss in there is a weird grappling loss to Hany Yahya. But, like, he keeps beating people, man. And even if you want to peel it back longer than that, he's 8-2 in his last 10. All in the UFC, 8-2. And that is a crazy run. So, give me more Kyung Ho Kang. And a lot of submissions there, too, by the way. 1, 2, 3, 4 submissions in the 8 wins in his last 10 fights. So, like, that's my kind of fighter right there.
Yeah, hopefully he keeps it. Hopefully he starts getting some fights, gets healthy, starts fighting more frequently. So, because he bucked the trend of the ring rust trend, because he did not look rusty at all in there. So Gumby hit back-to-back dogs there. We both had Teresa Bleda. What do we have her at? -250. So that wasn't a big hit, but yeah, she took care of Gabriela Fernandez. Can we fire Fernandez at the very least? She's probably going to get fired. 30-27 across the board.
She can't defend a double leg. And more importantly, and this is actually the most important thing about her, she just can't get up when she's down. Like she doesn't look like she has any idea how to get up. Also, this is the last thing I'm going to say about this fight. Did you see the tweet from Bloody Elbow?
Oh, yes. Yeah, go right ahead.
Bloody Elbow.
Tell the people.
Bloody Elbow scored this fight for Gabriela Fernandez, and they have officially passed Sherdog as the worst in the world at scoring fights, because that is wild. And then I almost said something. After the main event, they were like, what judge in the world could give Marvin Vettori the fourth? Because our boy Sal D'Amato gave Marvin Vettori the fourth round in kind of ridiculous fashion. And I wanted to respond, you gave two rounds to Gabriela Fernandez. Like, you don't have the right to complain about a judge's scorecard ever again. Teresa Bleda. I don't know that I love Teresa Bleda. She's got some decent grappling. Her striking seems to sort of leave something to be desired.
Yeah.
I actually think Gabriela Fernandez is an awesome striker. She just got
She is.
She got nothing else though.
Maybe we can combine the two fighters together. I was thinking I was watching. If we just combine these two girls together, they'd be a great fighter.
That's a great point. Those two fighters together are legit.
Someone get out some thread and a needle, and we'll sew them together, and we'll see what happens. We got saved by some foolery in the next fight. Bantamweights Dan Argueta dominated Ronnie Lawrence. And had him, he had him in a submission for a long period of time there. The fight only lasted 220, but most of that, Lawrence had his neck, trapped. For some reason, our favorite, well, I guess he's not our favorite referee, but Dom Cruz's favorite referee.
Some nonsense, that, Keith Peterson.
No nonsense, Keith Peterson. Some plenty nonsense. Of nonsense. Yeah, no, that was plenty of nonsense last night. He grabbed Lawrence's hand and basically made him tap, even when Lawrence didn't tap. They overturned it, luckily, but yeah, Dan Argueta got ripped off of a clear victory there. This one got turned into a no contest. We got saved because Lawrence did not look good, and he was our pick. So, like I said, we got saved there, but Argueta got ripped off there. If they run this one right back, are we going to go on the determined Dan Argueta train?
They won't run it back. The not, UFC right? knows better than to run this back. The UFC is moving Dan Argueta up, and yeah. they're moving Ronnie Lawrence down, possibly out. He looked real bad. Yeah. And I will say this, Dan Argueta looked very determined. strong, very determined.
He really did, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, he did look determined. He did, and we joke about that dumb nickname, but like he looked determined. Like if you had to use an adjective, he was determined. And I will also say this, his wrestling looked incredible. I definitely underestimated how good his wrestling can be. And I won't make that mistake again. You know me, I like a guy who grapples, and he looked fantastic on the mats. But that being said, loved being bailed out by the ref. Thank you, ref.
Yeah. He was a determined dogged dog. You can call him that as well. Yeah, but we don't need another title for this podcast, so I should have saved it. Modestus Bukauskas. I thought we lost this fight, Dan, but
I didn't.
He came through. Okay, over Zach Pounga, 30-27, 29-28, 29-28. Pounga made it a lot harder than, or I guess Bukauskas made it a lot harder on himself than he should have. He didn't look so hot, but he got himself a win, and we got a win right to kick off the event at minus 175.
I know there were a lot of people who were upset by this, but I really thought it was quite obvious that Bukauskas won 1-3. And I think that Anthony Maness, the guy who scored at 30-27 for Bukauskas, fucked up a little bit. Pounga won the second. I definitely think Pounga won the second, but I didn't think he won any of the other rounds. I thought it was pretty clear. Pounga won two and didn't win one or three. So good for Modestus. I like Modestus. He's a great dude.
Yeah, I do too.
Not that I don't love Pounga. I've interviewed both guys. But Modestus is like a very nice guy. And it's good to see him put together a little win streak here after having a really tough start of things. He's now beaten Tyson Pedro and Zach Pounga in back-to-back fights.
Is Pounga going to get another crack at it, you think?
I think so. He's 1-1 at light heavyweight.
Yeah.
You know, that's... and Bukauskas is, I mean, he's coming off a win over Tyson Pedro. If you're saying that Pounga is in the same boat as Tyson Pedro, Tyson Pedro's had 700 chances. So, you gotta get Pounga one more.
Gumby didn't need too many chances to make money last night because he killed it. He went 8-3. I don't even know if that made sense, but it was how I'm transitioning regardless. 8-3, Gumby went, $246. He won. He hit his lock Sabatini, hit his dog Kang. He missed on Lawrence via decision, but he also didn't lose that
push.
That's the key.
That push.
It pushed. Exactly. I went 6-5, but I lost money. I hit one underdog, but I lost $188. I hit Cost as my lock, which is good because I've been missing on my locks for a while there. I missed Moda as my dog. I missed Vittori via decision. I really missed that one. So there you go. On the year, Gumby's only $300 behind me now in the who loses the least. Battle. He's at 54% hit. I'm at 60%. So there you go.
And if you're looking for a little future boost, I'm going to give you my edge boost double down play of the day. This is in case you're looking to not have your money tied up on a future bet. I'm seeing future lines put down for July's first UFC fight night card. I got Michael Morales, -200. That number is going to spike way up as he fights Max Griffin on July 1st. So use the edge boost double down and make sure to get that money in and not have too much money tied up. So once again, that's my edge boost double down play of the day. Michael Morales, -200. Edge boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge.
And I got to get out here because we're running out of time here. We got more UFC though coming. Don't worry. We got another event coming up this coming weekend. It's going Jacksonville, Florida. It is UFC on ESPN, Emmett versus Topuria. I will run through the card quickly for you. Main event, Josh Emmett versus Ilya Topuria. Amanda Ribas versus Macy Barber. Cody Brundage versus Sadiqris Dumas. I'm struggling with his name already. David Onama, Gabriel Santos, Brendan Allen, Bruno Silva is the main card. Pretty solid main card there because it is on ABC in the States. So they usually try to make these a bit stronger. And then the prelims, Neil Magny, Phil Rowe, Chalgas Chumagulov. Sure, he's fighting. Sure he is. Versus maybe, Joshua Van. Maybe. Austin Lane, Justin Toffa, Randy Brown, Wellington Turman, Matthias Rebecki, Loic Radzhabov, Tabitha Ricci, Baby Shark, versus Jillian Robertson, Canadian. Trevor Peak, Jose Marichal, the Hall of Fame pitcher, right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. Jamal Emmers, Jack Jenkins, and Tatsuro Taira Clayton Rodriguez. Good fight card.
Sick fight card, yeah. There's so many fun ones in there. I think there's some really exploitable lines in there. There's that Joshua Van. It was supposed to be on the first episode of Contender Series. And so he's just going to jump right into the UFC. And they already found a replacement for his opponent on the first episode of the Contender Series. And his replacement is a good one. Tixit Zadim, which is a guy who's been looking for a shot for a while. I love Ricci versus Robertson. I love Radzhabov versus Rebecki. I love that Amanda Ribas is going to turn Macy Barber's face into ground beef. I actually think Phil Rowe versus Neil Magny is weirdly intriguing. So
yeah, it is.
Plus, we get to watch Trevor Peak throw standing hammer fists.
Oh, yes, yes. Standing hammer fist. And our friend Jong in the Discord is big on a Rabachi parlay. But we'll tell you what that is when we break down this event.
Oh, I love it.
We'll be back tomorrow, though, with PFL. No Bellator. Don't worry. We got PFL week 6 going down from Atlanta, GA. We're going to break down the top 5 fights for you and give you winning picks. All right. Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Twitter, SGPN MMA. Gumby Vreeland, Jeff Fox, writer. My Substack, get me in your inbox every day. MMA writing and pick'em contest is money, mma.substack.com. Gumby's got Top Turtle podcast he told you about, and everything good in the world is at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We'll be back for episode 366, as I said, tomorrow. Until then, I'll remain psycho. Jeff Fox, my co-host, the determined Gumby Vreeland, will be here tomorrow as well. Bye-bye.